Now, similar to last week, as we read through this passage, you'll notice that the disciples aren't recorded as being there, which is quite tricky when we're thinking through a series of what it is to follow the Lord Jesus, if the disciples, the one we're kind of watching on, aren't actually recorded as being there. But hopefully you'll see we have much to learn from this passage together. So let's read, shall we, from chapter 9 and verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up. Take your mat and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. This is God's word to us this morning. Let me pray as we come to look at these words together. Heavenly Father, we want to ask this morning as we come humbly to your word that you would soften our hearts, that you would show us ourselves, our sinful selves, and show us our great and mighty Savior, the Lord Jesus. Please help us to concentrate as we look at this, your word now, and please would you change us through it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when someone turns to you or calls you up on the phone and says, "I just want you to know, I just want you to know, dot, dot, dot," it has a funny way of getting our attention, doesn't it? I just want you to know. And often when we hear that phrase or we use that phrase in conversation, it's because we want to assure the person we're speaking to about something. So perhaps a family member, they're at hospital and they're about to go into theatre, and you say to them, "I just want you to know that I love you." And you're saying that because you want them to be assured that whatever happens as they go into this operation, that you love them. You want them to be assured of that truth. "I just want you to know." Sometimes we can use this phrase as a warning to others. So I might phone up my granddad and say, "Hey, granddad, I just want you to know that it's really icy outside. So be careful when you're walking down the road." You're saying that so they're assured of some danger, so that they'll take action and they won't hurt themselves. Perhaps recently at work, someone said to you, "I just want you to know that you're doing a great job." It's nice when we hear that, isn't it? And in saying this, what are they wanting you to be assured of? Well, they want you to be assured that you're doing the right thing, that you'd keep going in that work. "I just want you to know." Now, this morning, as we turn back to Matthew chapter 9, we hear the Lord Jesus say these words, "But I want you to know." There's something huge and important that the Lord Jesus wants us to get as we look at this story, as we consider its message together. He wants us to pay close attention to these words. And when rightly heard, I hope and pray this morning it would be a great assurance to us in our salvation and our faith. Because it's a message that comes kind of wrapped up in those three illustrations, kind of wrapped up in love, wrapped up in warning, and wrapped up in a kind of confidence-building kind of way. "I want you to know," Jesus says. Well, what is it that Jesus is keen for us to see this morning? What is it that he wants us to be assured about? Well, have a look down at verse 6 in our passage, because this is it. This is the heart of it. Jesus says, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." This morning, Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. Now, just like the sound of a police siren in the distance that gets louder and louder before arriving at the scene, so Jesus' authority has been getting louder and louder as you go through Matthew's gospel. So as Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount, we read that the crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he taught as one who had authority. And then Jesus steps down the mountain and he shows that his authority isn't only in word, but it's in action as well. So he heals the sick. He shows that he's got power. He's got authority over illness. He heals the sick. He displays he's got authority over nature because he calms a storm. And then he shows that he's got authority over the supernatural by driving out demons. And so as we arrive at this story, the sirens have got louder and louder, and here they are at their loudest. And Jesus says, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Jesus, the Son of Man, a title he refers to from the book of Daniel for the one who has all authority and glory and sovereign power. It's this Jesus that wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. And Matthew's so keen to highlight this as he writes this, that in retelling this famous story, he misses out some key details, doesn't he? You know, this is the same story of that's recorded in Mark's gospel of the man being lowered through the roof, the digging through the roof, the lowering of the mat to the floor. But here, all those details are left out. Why? Well, because Matthew wants us to center on what Jesus wants us to know, which is that he has authority to forgive sins. And Jesus wants us all to know this great truth, whether for the first time this morning or whether the 100th time. We need to know. Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. Now, some of you might have come this morning and you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, there's no way that Jesus or anyone would forgive me the things that I've done. I'm too far gone for help. I've played around with sin too much. I've ignored God for too long. There's surely no forgiveness left for someone like me. But what does Jesus want you to know? Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. Some in this room today, many of us perhaps are following the Lord Jesus already. We've been Christians for many years, and there's a temptation. We come to a story like this and we think, well, do we need to hear its message again? Aren't we beyond this? Isn't this just kind of level one of being a Christian? But friends, our hearts are so deceitful, and the devil is such a vicious enemy who loves to bring to mind all the sins of our past, the sins of this week, the evil we've done, and he whispers, are you really forgiven? Are you really a Christian? Are you sure that Jesus will really forgive those sins that you've done? Well, for all of us, particularly if you're lacking assurance this morning, what does Jesus want you to know? Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. It's a message that we all need to hear, and it's a message that should ooze from us comfort and assurance and praise to Jesus that he truly does have the authority and the willingness to forgive sins. Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. And in this story, there are kind of three implications for us because of this wonderful truth. Three things that are tied up with Jesus' authority to forgive sins. And the first thing we see is a picture of how to receive this forgiveness. And we'll see that in verses 1 and 2. And it's this. It's go in faith to Jesus. Go in faith. Look back with me to verse 1 and 2. And let's see this together. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." And Jesus has been asked to leave the region of the Gadarenes after displaying his authority over evil spirits. And now he returns home. He returns back to Capernaum, which is the place where he was at Peter's house and he healed Peter's mother-in-law and all the sick were brought to him. So it's no wonder, is it, that as soon as Jesus steps foot on shore in Capernaum, news spreads around. You know, it's healing time. Jesus is back. Let's take the sick to him. So that's why, verse 2, these men bring this paralyzed man lying on a mat to Jesus. They go in faith. They go expecting that Jesus can do something. And that's what we read Jesus sees in them too. Look at verse 2. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, it was obvious to him. These men turn up to see Jesus because they know he could do something about their friend's disability. They go in faith to Jesus. And it's a model for us. It's a pattern for us to follow. We know Jesus has authority to forgive sins, and so we go in faith to him. We go in faith to the one who has authority to forgive sins. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, yeah, that's right, but these men haven't gone to see Jesus for forgiveness. They've gone because they want to get their mate healed. And you're right. But this is the brilliant point of the story. These men go in faith to see Jesus for this healing, and then he completely exceeds their expectation. I mean, just for a minute, imagine you're in this room, okay? The men turn up, they've got this paralyzed man through the roof. It's a bit of a dramatic scene. And it all goes quiet, and everyone looks at Jesus. Everyone's looking. And Jesus starts speaking to this man. He says, "Take heart, son." And everyone's thinking, look, he's going to do it. Just watch this man's legs. Watch his legs, because in a minute, he's going to start walking. They know what's coming. But Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, looking around the room, there's a whole range of faces that you're going to see. For sure, at this point, no one's playing Candy Crush. Everyone's involved. Everyone's watching. And as you go around the room, you'll see over here some angry faces, which we'll get to in verse 3. Then over here, you've got some perhaps surprised faces. Oh, wasn't what we were expecting. And then probably kneeling down next to the paralyzed man, you've probably got some disappointed faces, haven't you? You know, Jesus, this wasn't quite what we had in mind. We know that you can heal people, and here's a man who can't walk. We were hoping you would make him walk. Can you make him walk? Well, yes, he can, and he will, but Jesus exceeds their expectation. He shows that his authority goes beyond what is seen. These men go in faith for physical healing, but Jesus goes above and beyond and cuts to the heart of this man's problem. And in doing, these men get far more than they bargained for. And this paralyzed man gets far more than he could ever have dreamed of. Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. Son, as you come to me, your biggest problem is not your physical paralysis. It's your spiritual paralysis. And just as you know I have authority to heal your physical paralysis, I want you to know that I have authority to forgive sins and to heal your spiritual paralysis. Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. And to receive this forgiveness, you must go in faith to him. See, think of this paralyzed man again, just for a minute. Because as this paralyzed man comes to Jesus, he brings nothing, does he? He brings absolutely nothing. In fact, he can't even make his own way there. He has to be carried by some friends. Well, when it comes to the forgiveness of our sins, the only thing that we bring to the table of the Lord Jesus is our sin. We come helpless and needy and at the total mercy of Jesus, the only one who has authority to forgive sins. See, as we look at this paralyzed man this morning, do you see yourself? Do you recognize your spiritual paralysis? Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. And so this story models for us, just very simply, that we're to go in faith to him. Don't wait around. Go to Jesus in faith and he will forgive you because he not only has authority to, but he is willing and able to do it. Have you gone to Jesus in faith for the forgiveness of your sins? This morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, we need to keep going to Jesus in faith for the forgiveness of our sins. It's a daily thing. We need to keep falling at his feet in faith, trusting that he alone has the authority and compassion to forgive our sins. I want to say as well, as we consider this picture just for a minute, I think it also provides a wonderful illustration of evangelism. So what is it that these friends do? Well, they bring their sick mate to Jesus in faith, knowing he has the power to heal him. As followers of Jesus who have experienced his forgiveness, we must in faith keep bringing and carrying all the spiritually paralyzed people that we know to Jesus so that they might know he has authority to forgive sins too. Jesus wants us to know he has authority to forgive sins. So go in faith. That's point one. And point two is kind of related to that. You see, it's all well and good to go in faith to Jesus, but can he really deliver on it? Can he really do what he says? Well, point two is this. See the proof. I wonder what the biggest claim you've ever made to someone is. Sometimes when we want to impress other people, we can kind of have this habit of overinflating our abilities. So perhaps for you, that's in the workplace. There's a conversation about football, and you're just saying, yeah, do you know, I'm really good at football. I'm just like that guy, Lionel Messi, you know. I get the ball, and I skill everyone up, and I score all the goals. I'm just amazing. Now, maybe for you, football's not your thing. Maybe you're more into baking. So you bake a cake, and you have a slice, and you just think, do you know what? I should really be on Bake Off. This is just amazing. I just want everyone to eat it, because it's just so good. And it's all well and good, isn't it, making these claims. But if you rock up to the football pitch and you're rubbish, you're going to look rather silly, aren't you? Or if you bake this cake and start bragging about it, but then people eat it and they think that's horrible, then you're going to look silly. And just an aside, by the way, my favorite example of this has to be one of my mates who once wrote on his CV that he could speak Italian, which was all well and good until he rocked up to this interview and one of the interviewers was Italian. Let's just say he didn't get the job. But when Jesus turns to this man and he says, your sins are forgiven, what is it that he's claiming? What claim is Jesus making? Well, he's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be God because only God has the authority to forgive sins. And that's why the Pharisees take such offense to him and start grumbling under their breath. Look at verse 3. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. In Matthew's gospel, this is the first opposition that Jesus has faced. And they would be right, wouldn't they, if Jesus really wasn't God? And they can't believe it. Their outrage seems fairly justified, doesn't it? I mean, this is Jesus' own town. Most of them would have seen Jesus grow up. You know, isn't this Jesus, the local lad? He lives down the road, didn't he? He was a carpenter, and now here he is claiming to forgive sins. And we might think their line of thought is fair enough, but Jesus calls their thoughts evil. Just look at verse 4. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Jesus this morning wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins, and to doubt that, like the teachers here, is a sin. Jesus calls it evil. Now, of course, as I already said, if someone else was to claim this, it would be blasphemy. But for Jesus, it's not because he really is God. And to prove that he is and that he has authority to forgive sins, he wonderfully and fully heals this man. Just look at verse 5 to 7. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. See the proof. They can't see on the outside whether Jesus has forgiven this man, but they can see the proof of a paralyzed man walking again. And it's worth noting that in this culture, there was a deep conviction that suffering and disease were a result of personal sin, and that nobody could be cured unless they'd been forgiven first. So that's why we read on another occasion, which is found in John 9, verse 2, that the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It's part of this culture that they lived in. And so when we catch a glimpse of that, it must have made this miracle even more spectacular for those around. Follow the thinking just for a moment. Under this culture, if you were ill, it was because you were a sinner. So if you were physically healed, like this paralyzed man, it must be because you've been forgiven. And so when Jesus comes in and he claims to have authority over sin and then heals this man, he is really showing them that he has authority to do it. So in this way, Jesus must have authority to forgive sins, because otherwise this man couldn't have been healed. That's the logic here. Now, just to say, Jesus never says that sin directly equals an illness. It might do. But illness is certainly a consequence, isn't it, of living in a broken world caused by sin. But as a result of this amazing miracle, what is it that Jesus wants the crowds, those looking on, to know, the Pharisees there? What is it that he wants us to know? Well, Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. See the proof. Now, just imagine for a moment this healed man, okay? He goes home. His life is completely transformed, isn't it? He could do things now that he could never have done before, even dreamed of before. But now fast forward a few years later. A few years later, he messes up in a really big way. He sins in a really horrible way. And he feels totally guilty for what he's done. Now, in that moment, what assurance does he have that his sins are forgiven? What's he going to look to? What's he going to look to know that his sin won't be held against him? Well, I'll tell you what he does. I might need to move for this. But I'll tell you what he does. He looks down at his toes and he starts wriggling them. And then maybe starts jumping a little bit and kicking his legs. And then he goes down to the local park and starts playing football. And then he goes for a really long walk. You see, he looks to the proof of his wriggling toes. And he knows that Jesus has authority to forgive sins. Now today, we can look to the proof of this story and say, yes, as I go to Jesus in faith, as I look to this proof, I know Jesus has authority to forgive sins. But friends, how much more confidence can we have as we look to the cross and to the empty grave? What proof can we look to know that Jesus has authority to forgive sins? Well, see the proof. Jesus bore on the cross the sin of all who would go to him in faith and ask him to forgive them. And we know this sacrifice for sin was accepted because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave 3 days later and is alive still today. That's our confidence. That's where we're to look. And Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins by seeing the proof. Are you looking to that proof? Have you checked out that proof if you're not sure? If you haven't, why wait any longer? Why not read the gospel accounts? Don't delay it. See the proof. And if you're struggling with doubt as to whether your sins have been forgiven, then keep looking. See the proof. Keep looking to the cross. Keep looking to the empty grave. Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. So go in faith. See the proof. And lastly, and more briefly, respond in fear. See, if Jesus has authority to forgive sins, then what else should our response involve to him? Well, look at verse 8, because we get a picture of some of the reaction to what happened. Verse 8. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God, who had given such authority to man. In response to this double healing, as it were, we're told that the crowds were filled with awe, which literally reads, they were afraid. They had utter respect for Jesus. The word has this idea of worship attached to it. And the crowds respond with this kind of fear. And it's the right response, isn't it? Who else is there like the Lord Jesus, this Son of Man, in authority and power, who can heal the sick and forgive the sins of all who would come to him? You see, it should be no surprise then that if you were to look up as well this reference to the Son of Man in Daniel 7, this is what it says. It says, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. Then listen to what comes next. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. They feared him. Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. And the right response to him is to respond in fear. A fear that means putting Jesus first, in the highest place of our lives. A fear that leads us to praising him and speaking of his authority to others. And as we do, our prayer should be that as we speak of him, as we continue to praise him, that others would go to Jesus in faith, that they would see the proof, and then they would respond in fear. Verse 8 records this huge reaction from the crowd. They fear Jesus. They praise him. But as we end, I just want you to notice too a more subtle reaction to this. And it's what we'll come and look at next week. You see, just look at the heading of the next story. It's the calling of Matthew. You see, this authority includes Matthew's own prompting to follow Jesus. Matthew, who wrote this book, who recorded this incident for us, he was convinced of Jesus' authority. Are we this morning? Are you convinced that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins? Have you gone to him in faith? Have you checked out the proof? How are you going to respond this morning to that authority? This morning, Jesus wants you to know he has authority to forgive sins. Go in faith, see the proof, and respond in fear. Let me pray, and then the band will come up and lead us in a song. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this wonderful story we've considered this morning. We thank you that at the center of it is this wonderful truth that Jesus wants us all to leave here assured of this morning, that he has authority to forgive sins. And we thank you that Jesus not only has authority to forgive our sins, but he was willing enough to die in the place of us for our sins so that it would be possible to receive this forgiveness. Father, please, this morning, would you be prompting hearts to seek this forgiveness? Father, for those in this room who are lacking assurance this morning, would they look to the cross and to the empty grave and know that their sins have been forgiven as we trust Jesus? Father, perhaps for the first time this morning, would someone look to the Lord Jesus in faith for the forgiveness of their sins? Father, please, would you do that eye-opening, heart-opening work? And would you help each of us to remember that as we leave here, that our response would be right, that these things that we've considered this morning wouldn't leave us dry and cold, but they would warm our hearts to you. Father, where else are we going to go for the forgiveness of our many sins? Well, it's only in the name of the Lord Jesus we can. So, Father, please warm our hearts. Please, would that truth overflow this week in our conversations now and into this week at work, that other people may want to go in faith to Jesus and see the proof of the cross and the empty grave and respond in fear too. Father, please help us in this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.